The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome back, America. I'm Hugh Hewitt. If you know me, you know that Kyle Mills has been a guest for many years since he took over the amazing legacy of Vince Flynn. Here's the brand new book, Oath of Loyalty. Kyle Mills is back to talk about Oath of Loyalty. Good morning, Kyle. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
It is great to talk to you again. This time you're bringing out a Vince Flynn book and a Mitch Rapp book in the middle of the election season. So we have to do one segment on the air and not our normal two. But we'll sell this book anyway. It doesn't need much help. I want, for people who are new to the show, I just picked up new stations all over the country, especially in Maine and New Hampshire. Would you tell them how you came to become the trustee of the Vince Flynn legacy and how Oath of Loyalty is? I think your eighth Vince Flynn Mitch Rapp book. Am I right?
Yeah, it is. It is the eighth. Well, when Vince passed away, the family thought about, you know, whether they wanted the series to continue and whether fans wanted the series to continue. And I think overwhelmingly, people loved the character. They loved Vince and they wanted to see his legacy live on. So they went out and talked to some authors. And I had been a big fan of Vince's my entire life and had written a lot of my own books. And I got lucky and ended up with the job.
It's a great job, and you're doing it so well. The hardest thing that occurred to me when I was reading Oath of Loyalty is new villains and new challenges. So I want to read from page 234. Rapp nodded. Where Legion is concerned, there are no precautions I consider overkill. We don't understand their capabilities, resources, or operating history. Irene, everyone knows, who's a Mitch Rapp viewer, pretty comfortable attributing four hits to them, but it's almost certain there are more. These aren't people that come at you with guns blazing. They're people who release a shark when you're swimming in the ocean or swap out your blood pressure medication for sugar pills and wait for you to have a stroke. Even with our eyes wide open, there's a good chance we won't see them coming. They're incredible, Sadie said. No pattern at all. Everything they do is bespoke. First time I've seen bespoke in a spy novel. Kyle.
She's British, though.
Yeah, she's pretty bespoke. You know, bespoke means one of a kind. And I wanted to go there. Coming up with villains. Legion is a pretty doggone good villain. How long did that take to think up?
You know, it took a little while, but I really wanted to create a threat for Mitch that an assassin, essentially, that he didn't know if he could handle. But because he's the best at what he does, I had to kind of come up with the anti-Mitch. So Legion works in a completely different way. If they ever shot anybody, they'd consider it just really banal. You know, they would never do something like that. It has to be, no one can ever know that the person was killed.
No, I'm not going to do any spoilers. The hardest thing to do when I talk with Kyle is not to do any spoilers. But the new villain is Legion, but I'm not going to tell you. It's so scriptural. It will resonate with all the Christian people out there. I am Legion. Was that on your mind when you picked up Legion as the name?
It was. I mean, because they work in complete secrecy, it also created a situation in which no one knew if it was one person or many people. And that's one of the reasons I like that name.
Double blind. Would you explain double blind to people?
Yeah, this is something that can work now because of cryptocurrency. They don't know. There's kind of an email you can send your request for a hit to. It's an anonymous email. And they respond, and then you pay them, and then they do the hit. But they never know who hired them, and you never know who you hired. One day the person dies, and that's the end of the transaction.
And then the transaction closes. And it is possible now with crypto and with the dark web. So, Kyle Mills, let's start about with placement. I always talk to my thriller writers about where they begin and where they end. Uganda and South Africa play big roles here. South Africa is familiar to Mitch Rapp readers. Why Uganda? Why are we in Uganda at the beginning?
This is where one of the characters lives. And I like the idea of it because it's really off the map in a sense of if you really wanted to get away from everything and get away from any threats to you, that's a nice place to be because there aren't very many agencies that have a lot of capability there. It's a little more chaotic. The other thing you have to think about now when I'm writing is cameras. You know, it's extremely difficult to operate somewhere like London or Beijing or, you know, many countries, Saudi Arabia, that you're not constantly on camera and being analyzed by AI.
Yeah. And what's interesting is when Mitch goes back to his house for the first time, he doesn't even trust his own personal network security, even if it's built into the walls. He has to have a bunco hole. He's got to be able to get away from his own house, even though he's built Fortress Mitch Rapp. But that is, I think, a good caution to everyone. Did you talk to security experts about this?
Oh, yeah. All the time. Yeah. It's hard to keep up with because the technology just moves. I'm almost monthly on the capabilities of it.
You know, I was up in Jackson Hole 2-3 weeks ago, and the Republicans were gathered there. And I know you live there. And I was thinking the Federal Reserve comes to the same place every year. That's not really smart, right? It just isn't smart. And yeah. I started thinking about that. Someone's going to join the staff of one of these resorts someday, and they're just going to be waiting for the Federal Reserve. Nobody should do the same thing ever again, right?
It is. Yeah, it's absolutely true. And Jackson Hole has no security at all. So I don't know. But it's a nice place to be. So I guess that's where they picked it.
Do you stay there in the winter, by the way?
Yeah, mostly. I spend ideally a winter or an entire year here and an entire year in Spain. So I like the winter here because I've always been a skier.
Oh, then that answers one of my questions. How did you know that Girona is the cycling capital of the world? I just figured it out because you live in Spain.
Yeah, and I'm a big cyclist, so I've spent a lot of time there.
Now, why do all the cyclists go to Spain? There's no elevation rise. They can't get what they need, can they?
Oh, no, actually, there are quite a few mountains in Spain. So, Girona is very hilly.
Yeah, I remember
a lot of roads. There are a lot of roads and nobody drives on them. So
that's the other. In Colorado, you will drive by cyclists coming up some 14,000-foot mountain, and there's nobody on it. You can see them coming. They're wearing their bright colors. So that's it. You're a cyclist. Do you still go distance?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I ride quite a bit still, like 3 or 4 times a week. So, yeah.
There's an interesting aside. I'm pulling this out of my memory. I hope I get this right. One of Mitch's adversaries doesn't work out well, and they have to run away from Mitch up a mountain. And the guy turned in aerobic activity for weightlifting. Not a good choice. I think you're sending a message there, Kyle.
That's right. That's right. As I get older, I can't lift too many weights anymore. So the bicycle's a perfect thing to be.
Kyle Mills, let's go back to one of the most interesting things in the book, and it's the president of the United States. Now, every thriller writer has to deal with a president, has to deal with the CIA, and has to deal with something in between. That's the premise that government is government. I don't think I've ever found quite as bad a president as President Cook. Do you think there's as bad has Mitch Rapp ever had to work for a president as bad as President Cook?
No, and this is kind of the point of this book, and it started with the prior book, Enemy of Gates. So Mitch has always had the president that liked and admired him. He's done a ton for the United States. They're grateful. So they listen to him and, you know, he can go along his way. They are always behind him. So I'm always trying to give Mitch a new challenge, and the idea of him having a president that can't stand him, I thought would be something interesting for him to handle because it's not his normal, you know, adversary.
And a first lady who is interesting, both a break but an ineffective one, and a CIA director. Irene Kennedy, this is my only spoiler. Irene Kennedy will not be CIA director long in this book. It's not much of a spoiler because it doesn't take but 10 pages to get there. So an adverse president, an adverse CIA, it's kind of novel among the novels I've read.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I thought it would be interesting to see what he would do kind of out in the cold. You think about just as a personal growth. I mean, that sounds a little hippie, but characters have to have arcs. They have to change over time or they become really boring. So what does Mitch do when everything he's lived for is kind of taken away from him almost overnight? You know, he has to, I mean, they, like, literally sitting around thinking, should I take up golf? You know, I mean, it doesn't really have anything to do. So I thought that would be an interesting thing to, for him to think about and grapple with.
It works. New villain and a twist at the top. Two twists at the top. You go from an ally to an enemy. You go from a CIA director who's got your back to one who wants to put a target on your back. And then you've got an excellent Mitch Rapp novel. Talk to us a little bit about the release date. This is a little technical for this is the extended interview. We're off the air now. I'm curious about the release date. Normally, thrillers release in the summer. This is releasing in the middle of a campaign. Now, the good news is everybody is flying everywhere and they need something to read. And it's going to be an airport book. So that makes sense. But with the publisher thinking, okay, everybody's flying everywhere and they need something to read and all the summer thrillers are behind them. What was the thinking here?
No, it's honestly much simpler than that. It's always released at this time. So it's always going to be early to mid-September. So
I've never noticed that.
That's the whole thinking. Yeah, that's the whole thinking. And, you know, it does. It is really affected, certainly when, you know, during the presidential campaign, you know, nobody was thinking about books.
Yeah.
So it's kind of the good news, bad news. But it's also not a bad time. Because a lot of the big summer thrillers are gone.
They're all gone.
You know, they think about that. With where you get on the Times list.
There are four people I talked to. I talked to Kyle. I talked to Chuck Box. I talked to Dan Sylvan. I talked to Brad Thor. And you're the last of the four this year. But I thought that was unique. But you're telling me that you've been in that groove for 8 years.
Yeah. And my assumption is Vince was too. But I'm not totally sure of that because it took me a long time to write the first book. So I had to go back and read all the books, you know. Again.
You know, Dwayne will look it up. We were with Vince when he got the news from the Mayo Clinic that was not so good. He was in the studio and had done a long interview with me about the, I think, a fourth Mitch Rapp book. How many total Mitch Rapp books are there now?
This one will be 21.
21?
I'm writing the 22nd now, yeah.
And so generally, no one ever has an age on their hero or anti-hero. No one ever puts a number on it. Danny Silva is the most elusive guy in the world about how old Gabriel Alon is. How old is Mitch Rapp?
You know, I calculated that very, very carefully while I was reading the books, and the math worked out that when I took it over, he was 44.
You know what?
53. It's actually super easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he graduated from college at the exact same time I did during Pan Am 103. So...
And I was talking with Hewitt. You can stay very, very... Tom Cruise is 60 and he's in Top Gun. Brad Pitt is the same rough area and he just did Bullet Train. So if those guys can keep doing acting, Mitch can keep being a superhero in the field. And not a superhero. It's all very plausible. Let me talk to you about your book tours now, Kyle. When you go out there, how much do you have to talk about Oath of Loyalty, Oath of Loyalty, Oath of Loyalty? And how much do people want to talk about Mitch Rapp over 20 years?
Oh, you know, it's very general. You know, I talk a little bit about the book, but people are interested in Mitch's arc. You know, a lot of people ask questions about his past. You know, for big fans, they'll know that, for instance, American Assassin and Killshot were about his youth and left a lot of things hanging. A lot of people want to talk about that. So it's really fun because, you know, after so many years, the character feels very real to people. You know, they remember his past, his girlfriends, his, you know, all this stuff. And it's fun to sit around and chat about it.
There are touch points in Oath of Loyalty. Stan Hurley has to show up. Stan Hurley does. There's a Stan Hurley reference, right? Is that, do you begin with a checklist of things that you've just got to do in the course of building a completely new plot with a completely new circumstances and many twists? You nevertheless have to do an homage to Stan.
Not really. I don't think it's conscious. It's just that he was such a big part of Mitch's life and Irene's life that, I mean, he trained Mitch that it just sort of pops into my head when I'm writing. But I wouldn't know. I definitely don't have a checklist.
I'm not going to tell anyone about Legion. It's so well thought out. I mean, the whole backstory. I mean, I don't want to give anyone a clue because it's just perfect. But I do want to go back to Irene drinking wine at the beginning. That's not much of a spoiler because it's 10 pages in. So I don't think I've ever seen that either. Irene tipsy.
No, she it never happens. Never happens. But I felt like this was a moment, if she ever was going to, that was it.
It's perfect. And so my hat is off to you. Let me close by asking you about book tours, Kyle. I don't know if they're back after COVID. It's the first Mishrap book post-COVID. What do you do to promote Oath of Loyalty?
Yeah, I'm going to go out a little bit to BoucherCon in Minneapolis. So, you know, going back to Vince's hometown. And I'll go to Phoenix, to Poison Pen, and also to Indianapolis to something. But it's not as extensive as it has been, but it's coming back for sure.
Yeah, no tattered cover. I was wondering, there are some old Reliables, Book Soup, tattered cover, where they continue to do this sort of thing. The Barnes & Noble stuff is over, but I think buyers of books would love to touch base with Kyle Mills again. I just think people want to go back to what was there 3 years ago, and I'll be fascinated to find out if that's the... I think there'll be a lot of people for the talk. And do you do a reading or do you do a talk?
No, I just do a talk. I don't think anybody wants to hear me read. George Goodall, the reader, is so good. I would never do it.
And it's a very tough talk because you can't give away a plot point, can you?
No, it is. It's kind of interesting because you that's, I think, partially why people like to talk about the past and stuff. Nobody wants to, you know, wants a bunch of spoilers when they're just buying the book that day.
Very last question. Does anyone get hushed or shouted down when they start to say, I want to talk about Legion, and they go a little bit further than I did?
Yes, that would probably I would because some people show up if they've gotten the advanced reader edition too. Yeah. So, you know, some people out there have read the entire book already and they want to talk about it. So we do that later.
You know, my discipline is to go 4/5 of the book through, but not to finish, because I never, ever want to give away the MacGuffin. Now I can finish Oath of Loyalty. Kyle Mills, thank you so much for joining me. Congratulations on the 8th Mishrap Vince Flynn book that you've done. I can't imagine that Vince would be other than superbly happy with your choices and your work. Thank you for joining me, friend.
Thanks for having me.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.